greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and this is no ordinary weekend on grounds. On Friday night here at JPJ, there's a celebration of the men's basketball team's NCAA championship. And Saturday night at Scott Stadium, there's a much-anticipated football game with Florida State. My guest this evening was a pretty fair basketball player at Hampton High School back in the day, but he's better known for his accomplishments in football, first as a player and now as a coach. Marcus Hagans, great to have you back on the show. How you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing awesome.
So before we talk about football, let's talk a little hoops. I did not realize until today when Macon Gunter mentioned it to me in a text exchange that you roomed with J.R. Reynolds back in the day.
I did.
Is that true?
He was my roommate. That is correct.
And he is still playing ball. And I actually did a story on him recently. And he looks like he did when he walked, when he graduated from here.
He was here probably about a month ago. And before he went back, and we all went out to dinner, me, him, my wife, and my kids. And we actually, Macon actually joined us. We were downtown at Citizensburger. So it was a good time. JR is one of my really close friends, and it just goes to show you the community which UVA provides. And, you know, two different sports, but we live together. And, man, we had a really good time. And the funny thing is the dude can really throw the football. And so, you know, one of the first things we did was we played one-on-one in basketball. And then we went out and see who could throw the football the farthest. And, you know, I wasn't really warmed up, and he threw the ball about 60-something yards. I was like, oh, we can really throw. So, but no, JR is a really good dude, and he does look the same.
I mean, he is ageless.
He is. We call him Peanut. I call him Peanut. That's my guy, man. So shout out to JR, man. He took the family out to dinner when he came back.
So as far as UVA basketball goes, what was it like for you and your wife, who's a former women's player here, and your boys, to follow Tony Bennett and his crew last season?
That was amazing. And, you know, just for the way they've done it, you know, Coach Bennett and his staff and the players, they work so hard. And, you know, the things that they had to overcome from the previous year, and for them to grow from that and then, man, win the national championship this season, the run was unbelievable. I think it's the most happy time I've been a fan of, just going through so many emotions going through the NCAA tournament. But, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the men that their program is raising and developing, and I'm so happy that those guys won a national championship. It was awesome for myself and for my family.
So before you graduated from Hampton High School, but you started high school at Bethel, mm-hmm. right? Bethel's most famous athlete is Allen Iverson, who is a few years older than you, but you guys are friends. How did that come about?
We grew up playing in the same rec league for the Aberdeen Raiders, and, you know, we call him Chuck. Chuck's a little bit older than me, but, you know, he was always someone I looked up to. And so his best friend and my best friends, they are cousins. And so we always had, you know, like a relationship growing up where, you know, they were always like my older big brothers. And so once, you know, we started coming up through the ranks and started playing, he always followed me. And then once I got to college, you know, he would always check up on me, come watch me play. And, you know, to this day, he's one of my best friends. And, you know, he's always been real supportive. You know, he would call me every week just before the game and, you know, wish me good luck, let me know he loved me and he was proud of me. And so now, you know, being a coach and helping, you know, young men develop or become men, like he's really proud of me, and that means a lot. So my kids love him. They don't really know the basketball guy. You know, they just know him as Uncle Chuck. But he's one of the most genuine, kind people you'll meet. I know there's a lot of stories out there about him, but if you ever really got to meet him and know him, like, he's one of the most selfless, kind people you ever meet. And so, yeah, that's my guy, man. That's the big homie right there.
Little known fact, his final high school basketball game was at University Hall.
They won
the AAA state championship. Yeah. I covered it for the Times-Dispatch. They played Jason Williford's high school, John Marshall, mm-hmm. and Iverson and Tony Rutland and three other role players went crazy. And Bethel had an unbelievable cheering section. I mean, they were rock stars. So wherever they went, their fans followed them. And it was a happening when they played.
AI and Tony Rutland, man, they were the combo. I would be hard pressed to find a better combo in high school than those two, man.
The really trivia question is, who were the other three starters on that team? If anybody can answer that,
I know
they've got a big time memory.
I think I know two.
We'll come back to that. All right, let's talk a little football. You were a graduate assistant here for two seasons on Mike London's staff before he promoted you to wide receivers coach in January 2013. Mike was on the other sideline last weekend for your home opener, coaching William & Mary. Was that awkward for you, having an old friend and an old boss on the other side and competing against him?
It was a little awkward, like, leading up to it. And it wasn't just Coach London. I mean,
he's got six former Virginia players. Well, seven with Muffin Curry.
Muffin was on that sideline. Blackstock was on that sideline. Keenan Carter, Razai, Josh Zeidenberg.
Matt Johns, Gordy Samus.
Gordy Samus. I'm missing one.
Well, Vincent Brown was a coach here. He's on that sideline.
Vincent Brown, there's one more. But, I mean, it's like going against, like, people you shed blood with, and it was different. And I think the main thing for me was just focusing on us all the way up through the week. And even once, you know, we got to the stadium, you know, you say what's up to everybody and you wish them good luck. You know, but in between those four quarters, like, you competing to win no matter who it's against, whether it's your brother, whether it's, you know, your aunts, your uncle, whoever it is. Once you get out there and compete, it's on. And I think that the guys played really well and, you know, responded to the challenge. And then after the game, you know, was able to see Coach and, you know, see his family. And, you know, I think what we've built leading up to that will always be who we are for the rest of our lives. You know, the guys I played with and the opportunity that Coach provided. So I'm always eternally grateful for Coach London because he was the one who got me into coaching. I didn't want to coach. And Coach, actually, I'm serious. Coach reached out to me like two or three times when I was, you know, finishing up playing in the NFL. And I told him no like three times. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I give credit to Coach because he put me on this path. And now I think football was my dream, but now coaching and helping and develop young men has become my purpose. And so I'll always be grateful for him for that opportunity.
Saturday night's game will be Virginia's first one against Florida State at Scott Stadium in 9 years. When you arrived at UVA back in 2001, the ACC was still a nine-school league, and every team played the other eight teams, you know, every season. That obviously changed in 2004 when the league expanded. You know, and one of the results of expansion is that teams from opposite divisions in the ACC often go years without playing each other. You know, I'll be honest, I sometimes miss the old round-robin schedule. What about you?
I do. I like playing the same teams every year. I do miss that. But, I mean, expansion is good.
It is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's nothing that I can change. But I do think there's something to be said for playing the same teams year in and year out. So, you know, if you know, the powers that be schedule
it
differently.
You can't do anything about it.
Whoever's on our schedule, that's what we look forward to playing.
You had a fantastic playing career here, and one of the highlights, as everyone knows, was that 2005 win over fourth-ranked Florida State at Scott Stadium. After the game, Bobby Bowden made that famous comment, "We couldn't stop that dadgum number 18. You were that number 18. What do you remember about that game?
I just, that whole week of leading up to that game, and we knew they were going to, they had a really good team first off. Like, I mean, they weren't ranked that high by accident. They had a really good team. And I knew that early they would come out strong and we had to withstand the surge and then come out swinging and, you know, throw our punches too. So that whole week, it was just like another level of preparation. And, you know, we did a lot of extra work to make sure we were ready to go the whole however long it was going to take. But, you know, we were very confident that they weren't going to leave the field with the win that night. And it kind of played out like how we prepared and practiced throughout the week. And it was like one of those games where you just felt like you could have played forever. And, you know, everybody will say, oh, I feel like that every week. But it was one of those nights when you came out, it was crisp, it was cool. You know, I didn't know it at the time, but it was a full moon out. But, you know, just all the things were in place. The crowd, man, I just remember the crowd was
nuts.
Just so electric. It was cool. And a funny thing happened. We used to stay at the Omni, and we were walking downtown just trying to get out of the hotel for a little bit. And there was this dude that had this sign that he had made, and it was like a tombstone. with my number and my name.
He was a Florida State fan?
He was a Florida State fan. He was like, Higgins, we're going to bury you and kill you tonight. And it was like, really? Like who would make a sign like that? But anyway, I thought about that the whole, and I just wish I could have found him at the end of the game just to tell him that he was wrong with the sign. But that was a fun night. And I just remember, you know, with all my teammates, all the coaches, we really accomplished something that I didn't know that would linger on to be that special of a moment that would last in UVA history, but I'm thankful to be a part of it.
You've told, I know, several people this week the story about your wife, Lauren, and that game and her role at that game. Can you share that with our listeners?
We were just getting started in, you know, talking and, you know, getting to know each other, and I had a really good feeling, and she hadn't been to a – she hadn't watched me play before. And so I just told her, I said, I think Saturday night's going to be a special game. So she didn't even have a student ID. So she had to go get her student ID so she could get in the game. And we ended up winning. And, you know, when she showed me the ID that she had went to get in the game, once I felt like that was something that was a special night, and I really felt, you know, humbled that she went and did that just to watch me play. So I always kept that ID with me, and it's in my wallet to this day. So everywhere I go, I keep that ID that she went and got to come watch me play.
And the rest is history. So, well, let's go.
She saw me play. She's like, ooh, I got it. No, I'm joking.
We'll come on. All right, let's go up, come up to the present day. Talk about this year's UVA team and your latest group of wideouts. I've been covering UVA football for nearly two decades now, and I would argue that from top to bottom, this is probably the deepest group of talented receivers that I've seen here. Am I crazy on that? That's if everybody's healthy.
I mean, I think in all fairness to every group, I think this group has the potential to be one of the deepest talented groups that we have. And I think there's a lot of football left to be played. So
it's a little early for that.
I'm one of those guys that'll hold my judgment until, you know, we finish the season. But yes, potentially this group has an opportunity to be one of the best and deeper groups that we've had in the past few years.
You added two grad transfers this year, Terrell Chapman and Dejon Brissett. Fans got a little look at Terrell last week with his touchdown catch, and I guess he almost had two really against William & Mary. Dejon has been banged up, but I know he's getting healthier. Looking forward to seeing him on the field and showing what he can do. Because, I mean, he really came here from Richmond with more of a body of work than Terrell did from Arizona State.
Yeah, I am. And Dejon has been really patient behind the scenes, really working to get back healthy. And it hasn't been an easy process. You know, most of his off season, as soon as he arrived, was right after surgery. So he's been, you know, healing and on his road to recovery. And, you know, he's patiently waited his opportunity to have a chance to get out on the field. And, you know, missing the first two games was tough for him, but he's been a great teammate the whole time. And he's not selfish. He's been rooting his guys on, very active and attentive in meetings and, you know, watching practice. So I'm excited for him to have the opportunity to play his first game in Scott Stadium as a Virginia Cavalier. And, you know, Terrell Chapman, you know, has been a good bonus for us. And, you know, his best football is still ahead of him. Mm-hmm. He's still getting acclimated and, you know, getting adjusted. But, you know, hopefully this turns out to be a great story for those two young men that come in as grad transfers and play extremely well on the football field, do extremely well in the classroom, and help our community become a better place. And that's what you look for in grad transfers. And so far they've upheld their end of the bargain.
The veterans of the group are Hassis Dubois, Joe Reed, Terrell Janna. We could talk at length about all three. We probably don't have time for that. So let me ask you about Hassis. I mean, I think it's fair to say he could be a little bit of a knucklehead early in his career here.
A little bit.
That might be an understatement. But, nah. I mean, how gratifying is it as a coach to see a kid not only turn out to be a really talented player, but mature the way Hassis has over the course of his career?
I mean, I think it's a cool thing, and I think, you know, a little bit of myself in him, you know, a little immature, was very young when I came into college, and just trying to keep him from trying to prevent him from making the same mistakes that I did. And it's been a challenging career for him as far as just immaturity. But I will say this year he's grown a lot. He's more mature. He's assumed more of a leadership role, and he brings a presence and a physicality to our room that he's not going to back down, you know, and sometimes that gets him into trouble, but he's what our group needs. He's going to stand right at the line, and he's going to go to battle, and that's what you want. So it's a day-to-day thing with him, making sure every day at the end of the night that, you know, he's continuing to make the right choices and do the right things, and so far he has, and I'm proud of him for that, and, you know, hopefully that'll continue throughout the season, and he's playing well.
I don't want to overlook your second years, Billy Kemp and Tavares Kelly, but let me ask you about the three true freshmen. Mm-hmm. One of those guys, Nathaniel Beal, is out with an injury, but Dontavian Wicks and Dorian Goddard have both played this year and look to be guys with bright futures here.
Yeah, I think we're excited to have all those guys. And, you know, the unfortunate part of any sports game is injury. And, you know, you hate to see that for Nathaniel. Dontavian and Dorian are, you know, two young guys that have a chance to contribute, you know, through special teams and, you know, a role on offense. So I think the sky's the limit for both of those guys. If they continue to stay humble and work hard, I think they'll be really good players for us. And that's an exciting part because they have time and they're going to get better as time goes.
There was a fantastic student turnout for the William & Mary game, and there's going to be a big crowd Saturday night at Scott Stadium. That was more or less the norm when you played here, you know, big crowds. You've kind of seen both extremes now. I know coaches always tell their players that what matters is what happens between the white lines and not what happens in the stands, but that support helps at home, doesn't it?
It does, and I'd be lying as a player and say you don't notice the crowd. And, you know, it's just, you know, as a player, like, and you're going through the game, like, there's just this energy that you get from the crowd. And, you know, when you're at home and, you know, the crowd is rocking, they're cheering, and you're making plays, it's electric. And, you know, you think you get a chance to impact 60,000 people, you know, at one time, like, per play. And that's something that always excited me. I'd be lying if I said it didn't. And, you know, I'm glad to see the stands are getting back to what they used to be. And also understand, too, is earned, not given. So, you know, fans want to see a good product and, you know, before they fully get behind it. But hopefully we continue to earn that and continue to play well and, you know, the fans continue to support the team. So the guys are really appreciative. I am as an alum, and, you know, hopefully that continues to grow.
Speaking of earned, not given, I was going to ask you, back in your playing days, would you have been excited about earning that number 18,
man,
every year?
I would. In all honesty, like, I love the fact because, like, if you love football, then this program is everything that you want, because all it is designed for people to grow, become better, and just learn how to be tough. And as a football player, if those things are essential, then you get better each day. So competing for something that's important to you, that's nothing, because to me, like, my whole life has been like that. Everybody always, oh, you're too short to do this. So outworking my competition and proving myself every single day, I mean, that's exactly what Coach Mendenhall's program is. And so to me, like, this would have been the perfect program for me. And I think the kids that do sign up for our program and our family, it's so rewarding because everything that's inside of you, we empty out.
Mm-hmm.
And you become such a better person, a better student, a better player. And it's rewarding. And like you say, when you earn something, like if somebody buys you something, like, you're like, okay, thank you. But when you got to go out and work and earn the money and then buy it yourself, you take care of whatever that is a little bit differently. And I think that when guys earn those numbers, they appreciate them a little bit more. And I would have loved to have earned and worked for mine.
I know it's important for Coach Mendenhall to have a family atmosphere in his program. And anybody who's ever seen a UVA practice knows that the Hagenses are integral parts of the family. You and Lauren have two extraordinarily bright and engaging sons, Christopher and Jackson. And, you know, not only have they embraced the players have embraced them. I mean, it's like your boys have 100 big brothers, isn't it?
It's the coolest thing. And, you know, to watch, you know, when you're at home and your boys are emulating, you know, how Bryce Hall wears a cutoff hoodie, and, you know, how Terrell Chapman rolls his sleeves up, or, you know, how Bryce Perkins takes a snap, or, you know, it's just cool. Like, they want to be like all of those guys. And so I think that they do feel like they have all these brothers. And, you know, last week, you know, Christopher going to Professor
Went to class, Williams, right?
Yeah, with Terrell Jenna, and, you know, sitting in Professor Williams' class, like those things, like, you can't you can't put a price tag on that. And when the boys come over and, you know, they're jumping all off the ceiling and going into the pool, like, that's like you couldn't write a better story. And so as a person who went to school here, met my wife here, and now we're raising our kids in a family atmosphere, along with a lot of, like, teammates that I play with whose kids are growing up, and my wife has some of her teammates whose kids are in town and they're growing up. So it's, you couldn't write a better story. So when I'm telling you, like, I'm happy, like, I'm happy.
You're happy.
Yeah.
You're also fit and trim these days, and I know bicycling helps you stay that way. How'd you get into cycling?
Honestly,
because you're pretty serious about it, right?
I am. And I think I've been running for so long, and I just wanted to try something different. And I kind of saw some guys probably about two summers ago. They were riding bikes, and it was a different type of conditioning and training. And so as a Father's Day gift, my wife got me a bike. And it was like, you talk about it, let's see if you want to be about it. And so I've fallen in love with it. I love to run. I still run majority of the week, but any chance I get, I'm out on the bike, and, you know, I'm probably 25, 30 miles a ride, but I love it.
Where do you go in Charlottesville?
You kind of got to go outside of Charlottesville. Yeah. Like, you kind of circle around, and you can go out by Charlottesville Airport, kind of go out that way. There's a couple, like, roads you can go in between, like, certain neighborhoods that give you, like, 15. But normally, I'm normally going out by Target, going out by Charlottesville Airport, going out those ways. I'm very particular in making sure, like, most of the roads have bike lanes, because I'm not that brave to go down some of those roads that don't have bike lanes. So it's a little hard in town, so you kind of got to go outside.
So you got some mountain bikers among your fellow coaches here. Do you partake in that with them?
Every once in a while I do. I don't own a mountain bike, so, you know, when we go, like, someone usually lets me borrow one, but I'll be lying to you, man. Like, that is, man, that's an awesome experience, and I it sounds crazy, but I love the speed going down the hills, and I get upset if I don't bleed. Like, I like the physicality of it, and so every time I've gone, I've fallen off, and I've had a few cuts, but I love it. I love it. It kind of makes you feel like you're playing football again. It makes you feel alive, so... My colleagues, Coach Howe, Coach Papinga, Coach Mendenhall, man, they love the bike. And so every chance I get to go out there with those guys, I do it.
So my research staff also tells me that you have gained a new appreciation for the great outdoors, and you love to go hiking.
I do.
And that you didn't venture anywhere near the great outdoors until a couple years ago.
I didn't. And it's so weird. And, you know, a lot of times on Sundays, we try to take the boys for a hike, you know, humpback.
Because they got some energy to burn off.
Particularly your younger son. Oh, my God. But we fall in love with hiking and, you know, getting to the top of those mountains and overlooking, you know, the views are just, it's been breathtaking. We went to Sugar Hollow last weekend and, you know, jumped in the pool, in the pond for a little bit. So it is. And my boys are so much different than me because I didn't grow up like that. But, I mean, snakes, spiders, you know, whatever it is, they have no fear, which is a scary thing sometimes.
Yes.
Like, there was a big water moccasin in the lake, and they don't even flinch. They're trying to touch it and pick it up. So, yeah, they're a little different than me. They're a little crazy. I think they take after their mom a little bit.
So you have – so some of your former teammates are back in the area. Chris Long, Heath is here. There are others probably that I'm not aware of. Ahmad's around here. Mm-hmm. How often do you see those guys?
A lot. I mean, my wife and Chris's wife are really close, Meg. And then the boys are really close with Waylon and Christopher and Jackson and Luke. So they're always playing together. And then Heath's kids, Heath Miller's kids, like, we all at some point we get together, and Case Luzar's in town, Pat Estes.
Yep.
I mean, there's probably some guys that I'm missing, but we try to find time. Everybody's schedule is different. Connor Hughes is in town. Like, so we just try to make our rounds and just try to get our kids around each other as much as they can. Sometimes we just do it at the McHugh Center. But, I mean, watching our kids get together and run around and play and it's just an awesome thing, and it's cool when wives get together too, because that's something that's hard to find, where you and your teammate get together, but then the wives might not get along. But finding that opportunity to have that and the kids get along, so it's been really a cool thing to watch, and you know, you want to watch it happen as long as you can.
All right, final question, then I'll let you go so you can have some family time. Who was your most underappreciated teammate you played here, or underrated, and who is the most underrated player you've coached here, do you think?
Most underrated teammate? Ooh, that's tough. I would probably say between two people. I would probably say Isaiah Ekajuba.
Yeah. Who went on to a great NFL career.
And that dude just worked every single day. And just really a selfless, great teammate. And the other one I would probably say is Amondo Curry. And I've known Muff since, you know, we were little. And I told him this in the text last week on his birthday. Like, he helped me become the player that I am. And he was one of the most underrated leaders that I've watched and, you know, had the privilege to play alongside, who taught me a lot about just toughness and just, you know, being a great teammate and a great brother. So I would definitely say Amondo Curry. And then probably the most underrated player that I've coached, I would probably say is Miles Gooch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, injuries cut his career short, but from where he began as a quarterback and probably never would have saw the field, to just making the transition of saying, "Coach, can you give me a shot at receiver?" And I mean, when Miles first started at receiver, I was like, "Man, why did I do this?" You're talking about a guy every day who was in my office watching film, asking questions, you know, doing exactly everything you asked him to do. And then to watch him have the success he had before he had the injury to his knee in the North Carolina game, that was the only pass he dropped all season. And that's how I knew something was wrong. And, I mean, he's here locally now, but I would probably say Miles Gooch is probably one of the most underrated players that I coached.
Well, great. Well, thanks again for stopping by and talking. We're about 48 hours away from kickoff at Scott Stadium. I'm looking forward to the weekend, and I know I'm not the only one. So good luck Saturday.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You guys come out.
For information on this weekend's festivities and all our teams, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.